we welcome back to radio once more author and Christmas television historian, Joanna Wilson.
Woohoo!
Hello, Joanna. Welcome back to radio once more.
Hi, Johnny. Thanks for joining me in this conversation. This is great.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
It's Helen.
It's Helen here. Helen's here with us as well. All right. Joanna has written quite a few nostalgia-related Christmas books, including The Christmas TV Companion, Tis the Season TV, The Encyclopedia of Christmas-Themed Episodes, Specials, and Made-for-TV Movies, and The Triple Dog Dare, Watch It and Survive in the 24-Hour Marathon of A Christmas Story. Joanna is also a very prolific blogger, and her website where her blog entries are archived is www.christmastvhistory.com. And Joanna is on with us via Skype, so if you have any Christmas TV-related questions for Joanna, you can give us a call on the Holmesy listener line, and that number is 609-845-3570. Again, 609-845-3570. So, Joanna, you've had a very exciting year, including some exciting news about your amazing book that we just mentioned, Tis the Season TV, The Encyclopedia of Christmas-Themed Episodes, Specials, and Made-for-TV Movies. So, all right, let us know, what's the scoop about this amazing book?
I'm very excited that the second edition, the updated and expanded edition of that encyclopedia, will be coming out next year. So it will be out this time next year, 2020.
That's fantastic news. That's worthy of another woohoo.
Woohoo!
Congratulations on the upcoming updated version of this book. And I've said it before, and I'm very happy to say it again. This is a book that belongs on the bookshelf of every movie, TV, animation, and of course, Christmas fan. And this is indeed one of my favorite reference books. So, job well done, Joanna.
Thank you. I just can't wait for it to be released and for it to help contribute to the conversation about the history of Christmas on TV.
Well, you've done an amazing job with the first version, so this is I'm looking forward to this. How much bigger do you anticipate this will be?
I'm thinking it'll be at least double.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It's the version I have is like 780 plus pages. So what's your game plan? Make it big, like more coffee table-ish?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's actually how it's going to be laid out so that it will accommodate all that information. But there will be, twice as many listings. So it's Christmas entertainment. It continues to grow each year. It just continues to get bigger and bigger. There are more and more Christmas programs released each year. And I've worked very hard in the last year or in the last decade since the book was first released. And I've got access to deeper archives with more information about old classics as well. So this is really updated and expanded. it's bursting at the seams. I can't wait for it to be released.
Well, we are both very excited here because we love your book. I refer to it often throughout the entire year. So in this case, bigger is better. I can't wait.
Thank you.
All right. Well, as we've done before, I have some Christmas-related audio clips for us to listen to and discuss. And all the clips we'll play have articles in Joanna's amazing book that we just mentioned. So our first clip comes from a television series. I just started watching it this year. And the series is The Joey Bishop Show. And this clip comes from 1962.
It seems to me that people ought to keep the spirit of a holiday a lot more than just one day in the year. Of course, to some people, Christmas means just getting presents or getting stuffed with turkey. But Christmas means a lot more than that. It's the whole spirit of the season that counts. people being nice to each other and trying to spread peace and goodwill. I just wanted to remind people of Christmas and maybe get them to celebrate not a holiday, but the whole idea of it all year long. Well, if it's ridiculous to do that, then I guess I was just ridiculous. You have a perfect right to drag us into court as a public nuisance. Your Honor, I don't know how you handle these cases, but if that's the law, then you can just arrest me as a ridiculous old woman.
Thank you, Miss Barnes. Thank you very much.
Your Honor, this is all very enlightening, but it has no bearing on the case.
I'm inclined to disagree with you, Mr. Andrews, and Mrs. Barnes, I'm afraid I must disagree with you, too.
I was afraid you would.
You are not a ridiculous old woman at all. If more people had in their hearts what you have in yours, a deep faith in the essential goodness of your neighbors, then we would indeed have peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And as far as that Santa Claus is concerned, you can keep him on your front lawn from now until Christmas. Case dismissed. Court's adjourned.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's a very touching clip from the Joey Bishop Show. Tell us about this, Joanna.
Yes, this is a very heartwarming scene in a very much overlooked holiday sentiment episode from the first season in 1962. That female voice you're hearing is Joey's mother, played by character actress Madge Blake. She is testifying in court because she has put up a Santa and sleigh and reindeer display in her front yard that she's purchased at an auction. And she insists on keeping it up year round. And her neighbors have now sued her for it being a nuisance. And this clip is her testifying in court, talking about why she insists on having this Christmas display up year round. And here she's revealing that she just wants to share the sentiment of the season, peace and goodwill, with her neighbors year round. And we also hear in that clip that the judge is agreeing with Joey's mother that is a sentiment. Peace and goodwill is worth upholding year round. And she's not a foolish old woman. She's in fact someone who is the embodiment of a good-natured person, and the case ends up being dismissed. It's a wonderful sentiment, even though this episode didn't air in December, originally in 1962. It aired in February. It is, and it takes place in the springtime. It really does embrace the holiday seasons and the spirit of the season.
Absolutely, but still has that wonderful message. And what I really love about this episode, one of the main reasons why I chose it, it's a regular who's who of character actors and actresses from classic television. Let me just go through a little list here I made. Of course,
yes.
Joey Bishop. You mentioned Madge Blake, who many of us know as Aunt Harriet on Batman. Joey's sister is Marlo Thomas, who we all loved her as That Girl. One of the complainants' neighbor is Willard Waterman, and we know him on radio and television as the Great Gildersleeve. Also, another complainant, the mailman, Mr. Gilson, is played by Joe Besser, and he's associated with the Jack Benny program, with Abbott and Costello, and many of us know and love him as part of the Three Stooges. And you also mentioned the judge, that's played by Ellen Corby, and we all loved her as Grandma Walton. And also as the attorney who the complainants hired is Frank Cady, and he played Sam Drucker on Petticoat Junction and Green Acres. So I absolutely love this episode the first time I saw it because I kept pointing, oh, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so.
Yeah, it's got a lot of familiar faces. It's a wonderful episode.
All right, our next clip is funny yet touching and comes from one of the most popular series from the 1970s, All in the Family.
Oh, read it. Listen, I wanted to tell you something.
What is it, Archie? Well, it was about that thing before I...
You want to thank me for understanding about your Christmas bonus, don't you?
Why don't you never wait for me to tell you nothing? I want to thank you for understanding about my Christmas bonus. See, I didn't want you to think maybe I got the bonus and blew it on something else, or maybe I was like too stingy to spend it, you know?
Oh, I never thought that, Archie. I guessed that you didn't get your bonus this year because of that mistake you made down at the plant.
You guessed that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I figured that when you sent that shipment to London, England, instead of London, Ontario, they kept your Christmas bonus as a fine.
Yeah, see, they kept my Christmas bonus as a fine.
Thank you for telling me, Archie.
Well, I guess it ain't such a bad Christmas after all, huh?
That's a touching clip with Archie and Edith. What do you think of that one, Joanna?
This is another, you know, classic episode and a story that actually is evergreen. It's about Archie doesn't get his Christmas bonus that he was counting on from work this year, and so they're going to have a leaner Christmas than usual, or at least leaner than they were expecting. The economy is struggling also, and so their tree's going to have to be a little bit smaller. The gifts are going to have to be a little less lavish. We all know what this is like. We often, every Christmas is different, and sometimes we have leaner years. And this year, Archie, it turns out his Christmas bonus is being held back. We hear in the clip here because he made a mistake at work, and they're actually claiming his bonus to cover up the expenses that he caused the company. But it's still, it's a sentiment and a heartfelt episode that even though this episode is almost 50 years old, we all understand these emotions going on in this story. It's evergreen. It continues to ring true for many of us. It's a heartfelt, wonderful 70s Christmas episode.
Very true. And it does hold up well, as you said. All right. The next audio clip we have comes from the tremendously popular 1980s, 1990s television series, The Wonder Years.
Holy infant, slow, tender, and mild.
Nothing short of a miracle is going to make this right. And then it happened. It started to pour. The thing was, Dad just stood there. We all wanted to run for cover, but Dad was just standing there. So we just stood there with him. I don't even remember what I got for Christmas that year. But Dad gave Mom a bracelet that knocked her socks off. Oh yeah, and he did get us that color TV 2 years later.
Oh, we can eat them off the floor.
For me, that year Christmas stopped being about tinsel and wrapping paper and started being about memory. At first that was disappointing. Until I learned that memory is a way of holding on to the things you love, the things you are, the things you wish to never lose. And I learned from Winnie that in a world that changes too fast, the best we can do is wish each other Merry Christmas. And good luck.
The Wonder Years. I've learned after watching the entire series to have tissues close by at the end of each episode, but this is a special episode about Christmas. So tell us what you think about this one, Joanna.
Oh, this is a classic episode. And this series, as you mentioned, it's really it's got special built-in emotion because it's even though the series started and took it ran originally ran in the 80s and the early 90s, it takes place in the late 60s and early 70s. So it has this built-in nostalgia already into the storytelling, much like the movie A Christmas Story or even Dylan Thomas's A Child's Christmas in Wales, or Truman Capote's A Christmas Memory, or even TV shows like Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. You know, it's looking back. It's a reflection, and that has a built-in nostalgia and adds more emotion to it. And this Christmas episode, if you'll remember, this is from 1988. The episode is entitled just simply Christmas. And Kevin and his siblings are trying to convince their father to get them their first color TV. And I love you've captured the meaning of this episode right here in this clip. Here, Kevin, we hear in the voiceover, the adult Kevin says, "I don't remember what we got that Christmas." And we got our color TV set another 2 years later after the father saved up the money for an expensive set like that. But Christmas, he learned an important lesson that Christmas. Christmas is about memories and it's about feelings. And that episode also, another storyline is Kevin is trying really hard to get a really good, meaningful gift for Winnie Cooper, his neighbor and girlfriend. And at the same time, she's struggling with her brother serving in Vietnam. And it's a very heartfelt episode and wonderful, meaningful story about Christmas.
Yes, that's quickly becoming one of my favorite series as I watch it and puddle up after every episode.
Yeah, and the actress that played Winnie Cooper, her name is Danica McKellar. It's exciting. She, even though that show has been off the air for you know, more than 25 years, she's still active in Christmas TV movies. She's making another debut in a new movie this weekend. Entitled Christmas at Dollywood on the Hallmark Channel. So she's still very much a part of Christmas entertainment, and it's exciting to see her in these new movies.
Wow, excellent. Okay, moving back to the 1960s, this audio clip comes from another very popular television series, Bewitched.
Samantha! Samantha, what a pleasant surprise. How are you, my dear?
Oh, just fine, Santa, and you?
Oh, just the same. Always the same.
Oh, excuse me. Santa, this is my husband, Darren.
How do you do?
Oh, how do you do, Santa?
And this is Michael.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Michael. Won't you sit down? Come on, Michael, come and sit over here.
Now, I'm sorry I haven't got much time to chat with you, but I can at least offer you a cup of tea or a glass of milk. Eh, Michael?
No, thank you, Santa.
Oh, Dennis?
Darren, Santa.
Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, of course.
Thank you. Nothing for me, Santa.
Well, it must be something very important that brought you all the way up here. What's the problem?
I think the problem's been solved by just being here.
Those aren't pillows, are they?
You know, my boy, sometimes I wish they were. I've tried all kinds of diet, but nothing worked. But then again, if I got too thin, my children might not recognize me.
I'd know you.
Yes, I think you would. But what difference does it make how we look on the outside, eh? It's what we feel on the inside that counts, isn't it? We all grow older, and our eyes get weaker. But what we've seen with our hearts remains forever a thing of joy and beauty. Do you agree with that, sir?
Yes, I do, sir.
Good. Now I must be going. I've talked long enough, but before I go, I want you to tell me what you'd like for Christmas.
I don't know. I guess I haven't thought much about it.
Oh, well, then, take your time. Just take a little look around the display tables and pick out something nice for yourself. Or maybe, if for someone else. Hmm? Remember, Michael, the real happiness of Christmas isn't found in what we get, but what we give.
Well, that was from Bewitched. Tell us about Santa and Samantha, Joanna.
I love this episode. I believe this is 1964's A Vision of Sugar Plums.
65.
Ah, okay. And one of the things I love about this episode is that Samantha Stevens uses her relationship with Santa Claus.
Yes.
She's a witch, if you'll remember. That's the whole premise of the Bewitched series. She's a witch. And, of course, she has a relationship with Santa Claus. And she uses it to help inspire a young child who's lost his belief in Santa Claus. Very heartwarming.
It is, and that's a young Billy Mumy, pre-Lost in Space in that episode, that played Michael.
That's right. And eventually in that episode, we'll also see Bill Daly, who many of us may recognize from I Dream a Genie and from Bob Newhart's show. He also has a small role in that episode.
Mm-hmm. The famous Hi Bob guy.
Yes.
Okay. This next series ran in the 1960s and 1970s, and it's recently been in the public eye with HGTV's series A Very Brady Renovation, and we are talking about The Brady Bunch.
Well, my sakes. What's your name?
Cindy Brady.
My, but you are a pretty little girl. What toy would you like to have Santa bring you?
Oh, I don't want any toys.
No toys? Well, you must want something for Christmas.
I do. I want my mommy to get her voice back.
Your mommy's voice back?
Mommy's got laryngitis. Real bad.
Well, that is a shame.
And she has to sing at church on Christmas.
Well, Cindy, I don't think I can...
Oh, please, Santa. It's all I want for Christmas.
Well, you certainly are a sweet, unselfish little girl. I'm sure your mommy will get her voice back.
Oh, thank you, Santa. Daddy, Daddy!
What are you so excited about, sweetie, huh?
Santa's gonna give Mommy her voice back for Christmas.
He's what?
He promised Mommy can sing on Christmas morning.
Oh, honey, how could he do that? He's not a doctor.
He's better than a doctor. He's Santa Claus.
Tell us about Cindy Brady, Joanna.
This is such an adorable episode. I love this one. It's definitely in my top 10. And we heard young Cindy Brady say those magical words. He's better than a doctor. He's Santa Claus. When she, her only Christmas wish is for her mother to get her voice back so she can sing in church on Christmas morning, which is a wonderful, unselfish way to offer your Christmas wish for on behalf of someone else. I loved Santa here. Immediately recognized character actor Hal Smith, who we also know as Otis Campbell on the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
He also did a lot of voice work for Hanna-Barbera cartoons, so he's very familiar, and he's a wonderful Santa Claus in this episode as well.
Yes, indeed. This is a very touching episode, and I absolutely love it as well, and it was nice to see the Bradys all Christmas-fied. It was really good. Okay, we have one more audio clip from a television series, and in 2019, this series celebrated its 60th anniversary since its CBS premiere, and this series is arguably one of the greatest television series ever. This clip takes us all into the Twilight Zone.
But as for my insubordination, I was not rude to that woman. Someone should remind her that Christmas is more than barging up and down department store aisles and pushing people out of the way.
Now, Corwin...
Someone has to tell her that Christmas is another thing. Finer than that. Richer. Finer. Truer. And it should come with patience and love, charity, compassion. All I know is that I'm an aging, purposeless relic of another time. And I live in a dirty rooming house on a street filled with hungry kids and shabby people, where the only thing to come down the chimney on Christmas Eve is more poverty.
Will you keep your voice down?
You know another reason why I drink, Mr. Dundee? So that when I walk down the tenements, I can really think it's the North Pole and the children are elves and that I'm really Santa Claus, bringing them a bag of wondrous gifts for all of them.
There is a really moving clip from The Twilight Zone, Joanna. What do you think of that?
This is another one of those Christmas episodes that just move me each and every time I see it, even though I've seen it many, many times. I this is one of my favorites. Here we're hearing the voice of Art Carney, who's playing a Santa Claus who works in a department store in a section of town that's really, it might be called a ghetto. It's the poor section of town. And he struggles with drink because he goes into work every day and listens to children who ask for, gifts. And he knows that he can't promise them anything because their families can't always get them the gifts that they want. And this is painful. This is a burden for him. And he, makes his own Christmas wish that he wish he could give all the kids the gifts that they deserve and that they need and that they would like. And only in the Twilight Zone, right? He finds himself now with a magical sack, which does offer everyone who opens it the gift of their dreams. And it's a wonderful episode and one that was written by Rod Serling himself. So that makes it even more special for Rod Serling fans. A very classic episode and popular not only with TV viewers, but also with critics. Critics love this and usually put it in their top 10 for the entire series.
It is a classic episode. Anne Serling shared in her book about her father, Rod Serling, that every Christmas, Rod would pull out his film projector, and he had a film copy of this episode, and he would play it for the family to watch, and she has fond memories of that. And Rod Serling was born on Christmas Day, so he's a Christmas baby. But she relayed that she had some wonderful memories of this episode every year when her dad would pull it out for the family to view.
That's fantastic.
All right, you're listening to Radio Once More. Our guest this evening is author and Christmas television historian Joanna Wilson. Joanna's website is www.christmastvhistory.com. And you feel free to give us a call if you have any questions for Joanna, any Christmas-related questions. Our telephone number is 609-845-3570. Okay, Joanna, it's sad to say again that another year has gone by, and again, the 1973 version of Miracle on 34th Street has not been released to DVD.
Aww.
Very, very sad to hear that, but I do believe we have a phone call. Hello, you're on the air with Joanna Wilson.
Hi, Johnny. This is Rob.
Hello, Rob. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very good. You have a question for Joanna?
Yes, I do. You mentioned that one or two of the episodes that Johnny played, that one or two were in the top 10. What is your top number one show, personally, for you, Joanna, that you like?
Well, I like the things, I like the Christmas programs that I grew up watching. Just like everybody else, you end up really connected to the things that you saw when you were a child, and I'm the same way. So I really love, I grew up watching Bewitched, and that's why it's in my top 10. I really love the Brady Bunch Christmas episode. Again, that's from my childhood. I also love the 1971 TV movie, The Homecoming, A Christmas Story. The movie that was so popular that it eventually started the TV series The Waltons. That movie was a big deal in my house. We watched it every year. We looked forward to watching it every year. We also liked watching The House Without a Christmas Tree. I think that's 1974. And again, it's still one of my favorites. Still resonates, still brings a lot of emotion and memories when I see it.
I have to agree with you that whatever you saw as a child makes more of an impression on you than, say, when you become an adult. Which goes that my favorite Christmas show is Mr. Magoo, and he portrays Scrooge, and it's a pretty faithful representation of the original concept of that, and I thought the animators and the writing on that show was really good.
That is, that's a great one. 1962, Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol. That's fantastic.
Yeah. What about you, Johnny? What do you remember from your childhood that you saw that captured your imagination?
Top in my memories are probably the Rankin Bass, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I also have fond memories, as Joanna does, with the Homecoming. In fact, we've discussed that in years past with Joanna, and there's even some very eerie scenes in that. The scene where Elizabeth gets the broken doll, that really hit me hard, and I'll never forget how I felt when I saw that. That was always a great episode. In fact, I always remember struggling to stay awake for that, if I could make the end. And Charlie Brown, and then when it comes to the films, Miracle on 34th Street is also one of my very, very favorite. Mm-hmm. There's so many wonderful programming that we grew up with and we continue to enjoy. It's a very, very happy time of year. And now with home video, we can watch it all year round.
Yeah, and the Jimmy Stewart movie, It's a Wonderful Life, it didn't do well in the theaters, but the Academy Award people did nominate that film for a couple of things. And so they saw something in it that at the time people saw it in the theaters didn't think much of, but it has grown to be the number one Christmas movie of all time.
Yes, I think it was nominated for Best Picture. I kind of forget what film won, but in the long run, that definitely has held out so well that it's a yearly favorite. So that's a great one also, Rob.
Yeah. What about you, Helen?
I enjoy the Rankin-Bass cartoons. Rudolph's one of my favorites.
Wasn't that one of the first ones, Rudolph?
I believe so, yes. That along with Mr. Magoo.
I think Rudolph came out in 1968, or was it before that?
64.
No? Pardon me?
Rudolph came out the same year that Johnny Boy did, 1964. I was born in 64.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for letting me call in, and a Merry Christmas to everyone and a Happy New Year.
Thanks so much, Rob, for calling, and we'll be chatting with you soon, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, Rob.
All right, take care. Oh, that was nice of Rob to give us a call. The line's open if you want to give a call and chat with Joanna. It's 609-845-3570. And Joanna, we were, again, sulking about the 1973 Miracle on 34th Street not being released on DVD.
And yet, Christmas TV movies are bigger than ever right now. There are more than 100 new Christmas TV movies being released just this year. So what I'm hoping is, you know, back in 1973, when Miracle on 34th Street was first made, you know, Christmas TV movies, there were just a handful of them made at that point. And even TV movies in general were less than a decade old. And there is this renewed sort of interest in, you know, the history of TV and certainly Christmas, the history of Christmas on TV. So I'm hoping with this popularity and the surge of Christmas TV movies right now, people will be wanting to go back and look at some of those early examples, and definitely Miracle on 34th Street from 73. And we have so much more opportunity with all these different streaming platforms, whether it's Amazon or it's Netflix or it's other streaming platforms, as well as DVD options. I hope that I'm still hopeful that we will eventually see an official remastering and re-release of that movie, and contemporary audiences can re-find it.
Absolutely. Well, here's a clip from what we're talking about, the 1973 made-for-TV version of Miracle on 34th Street.
Christmas means magic, and one person wants to keep it that way.
My name is Kris Kringle. I'm Santa Claus.
Take it from me, what a salesman for Christmas he's going to make.
Just so you understand that there's more to my kind of Christmas than just trees and lights and stockings hung with care.
He sends our customers away. He sends our customers to Gimbel's.
But one little girl, the proof is in the pulling.
Oh, that's because I am the real Santa Claus, you see.
And she's not the only one who needs proof.
Do you believe you are Santa Claus?
Yes, I am.
These letters have been delivered here to Mr. Kringle by the United States Postal Service.
He shows them that miracles can happen.
If you open your eyes.
Sebastian Cabot is Kris Kringle. Miracle on 34th Street.
I still love that film. Tell us why you love it so much, Joanna.
Well, I love Sebastian Cabot as Santa Claus. I love him in Family Affair, the TV sitcom in the late 60s, early 70s. And I also just love the glimpses of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, the official kickoff of the Christmas holiday season.
That's the parade we grew up with. I absolutely love those clips.
Yes.
Well, we'll just keep hoping and praying that one day it will be released. In the meantime, it is available on YouTube. So if any of you out there listening would like to check out this film, it is in its entirety on YouTube, and Helen will put up the link to the movie in the Facebook thread for tonight's show. All right. Well, let's move on. We mentioned this briefly when Rob called in, and it is indeed a classic Christmas favorite, the 1946 film, It's a Wonderful Life.
Courage! Courage! Help me, Clarence! Get me back! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! I want to live again! Please, God, let me live again!
Hey, George! George! You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
You... George. Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you... My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's petals! Zuzu! There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry! Christmas!
Ah, there's that wonderful positive turn that this film makes that we all love, that we suffer through so much, but then this makes it all worth it. Tell us about this classic film, Joanna.
Well, where can I begin? It's just impossible to imagine what Christmas would be like without this movie. It's such an important part of how people celebrate. And NBC still controls the rights to air this on TV each year. I know it aired last week at Thanksgiving, but it will air again on Christmas Eve like it does every year in a 3-hour time slot where many people love to watch it and make it a part of their Christmas Eve tradition. It's a movie first released in 1946 and yet continues to be an important story that people turn to again and again, a story that resonates with people. I still regularly see brand new Christmas TV movies and Christmas episodes, which are essentially adaptations of this story from 1946. It's still a powerful story that continues to move and touch people's lives. It's an amazing influence on our culture.
It is, and it's even though that didn't do well in the box office, like Rob mentioned, it's nice how it became like an underdog and over the years has become a powerhouse around this time of year for Christmas. It's one of the top ones. I think you mentioned NBC. I think they air it on Christmas Eve now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just... it's a wonderful film that it's one of my very tops as well. Okay, Joanna, and of course, we cannot have a Christmas television discussion without mentioning Rankin Bass. And this Christmas classic is celebrating its 50th year on CBS in 2019. And we're talking about that jolly, happy soul, Frosty the Snowman.
Look, the hat's back. Let's see if it'll make Frosty alive again.
Happy birthday! Hey, I said my first words. But snowmen can't talk. All right, come on now. What's the joke? Could I really be alive? I mean, I can make words. I can move, I can juggle, I can sweep, I can count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 6, 8. I can count to 5. What do you know? I'm even ticklish. In fact, I'm all living. I am alive. What a neat thing to happen to a nice guy like me.
Yay, it's Frosty, Joanna.
Yes, and as you mentioned, it's exciting because Frosty celebrates his 50th year this year, 1969 to 2019, 50 years old. And in terms of television history, this is very important. This is the only thing on television that has aired every year for 50 years on the same network. It's on CBS again this year for its 50th year. This is very exciting. This is Christmas TV history right here.
It is. And it's just a delightful Rankin Bass production that I just love. This is the traditional animation as opposed to their animagic, which they've done with Rudolph and Santa Claus is Coming to Town and so many others, and they're just equally talented at using different mediums, whether it be animagic or traditional animation. And this really is just a classic. I love the music, I love the story. Another one of my very favorites.
Yes.
All right, our final Christmas audio clip comes from the 1965 animated classic, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
All right, now, what seems to be your trouble?
I feel depressed. I know I should be happy, but I'm not.
Well, as they say on TV, the mere fact that you realize you need help indicates that you are not too far gone. I think we better pinpoint your fears. If we can find out what you're afraid of, we can label it. Are you afraid of responsibility? If you are, then you have hypangeophobia.
I don't think that's quite it.
How about cats? If you're afraid of cats, you have alerophasia.
Well, sort of, but I'm not sure.
Are you afraid of staircases? If you are, then you have climacophobia. Maybe you have thalassophobia. This is fear of the ocean. Or gypharophobia, which is the fear of crossing bridges. Or maybe you have pantophobia. Do you think you have pantophobia?
What's pantophobia?
The fear of everything. That's it!
That's it, Joanna.
For me, it's not Christmas until I see this on TV, A Charlie Brown Christmas from 1965, another classic animated special from the golden era of Christmas animation in the 60s. And not to be overlooked, I want to point out that and remind viewers that this was the first Peanuts animated special. I think we often take it for granted. We all remember the Halloween special, the Thanksgiving special, the Easter special. There were several theatrical release movies. There was an Arbor Day special. There's a lot of Peanuts animation now on TV, but this is what started it all. This was the very first special. It was the Christmas special in 1965. And was just so popular that Charles Schulz and the animators jumped on board and created more stories for TV viewers. And we still watch A Charlie Brown Christmas on primetime on a major network each year at Christmas, another long-lasting legacy of Christmas TV history.
Yes, this is one of my favorites as well. It just today, I stumbled upon the entire presentation is archived on archive.org, and I believe it's the very first airing of it because it has that kind of that rare, the Coca-Cola sign. But yes. Later on, we remember when it was, I guess, Dolly Madison. That's what I remember for years, the Charlie Brown cartoons. But I just stumbled upon that today. So if any of you listening want to check that out, and you get to see, brought to you by the bottlers of Coca-Cola, which was I believe it was just the first airing was sponsored by them. And yes. It was nice to see that it is there. So that was a lot of fun. And yes, I agree with you. It's not Christmas until this airs. The pacing of it, the wonderful Vince Guaraldi music. It's just the touching story, and it is also one of my favorites. All right, well, we've been chatting with author and Christmas television historian Joanna Wilson, and again, her website is www.christmastvhistory.com. Well, thanks so much, Joanna, for joining us here on radio once more.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great conversation.
This has been wonderful, and I'm glad we were able to do this live. This was a lot of extra fun, and it was fun and enjoyable. So I want to, again, thank you. I want to give you a big Christmas woohoo.
Woohoo!
All right. Thanks again, and Merry Christmas, Joanna.
Merry Christmas, Helen. Merry Christmas, Johnny.
Merry Christmas.
Joanna Wilson here on Radio Once More.